All right, so we're going over chapter 4 from the Nutrition 4th edition text. It starts on page 146. All right. So this chapter is going to go over a lot of the chemical makeup of what makes carbs carbs and how to understand them on a little bit deeper level as far as the chemical structures and functions, where you can find carbohydrates, and maybe a little bit about their substitutes and diseases associated with carbohydrates. So, when we think of a carbohydrate, what literally does carbohydrate mean?
Hydrates you with carbon.
Hydrates you with carbon, okay. So, well, carbohydrate... We can look at carbo, okay, which stands for carbon.
Carbon and hydrogen.
Good. And then hydra, which is hydrogen. Hydra. Good. There you go. Is that the Avengers? There's that...
Yes.
The Avengers or
the
Captain
Avengers,
America?
Captain America.
Hydra. Oh. Kill everyone. It's like they're like the communists.
They are.
Yeah. Damn communists. Hitler started Hydra, I heard. Is that what it was? Anybody ever read that? Or what was it? Captain America 1? You know? Where he's like... Hitler. He's a bad dude. Okay. But a carbohydrate literally refers to a carbon and hydrogen containing molecule. But we also need to understand that a carbohydrate is also made of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Okay. Or can be abbreviated CHO.
CHO.
CHO. Carbon, hydrogen, oxygen. All right, and... Where in nature do we typically see carbohydrates? Or where do they come from?
The ground.
Plant material. Good. Yes. And let's find out how carbohydrates are actually produced.
Yeah.
Cool. So, well, carbohydrate is the, we'll say storage form, or starch is going to be the storage form of carbohydrate in plants. Okay. That's mainly like vegetables that have or higher starch-containing foods, like potatoes, vegetables. Most vegetables, we'll say, contain a good amount of starch. Some fruits do as well, like bananas, but let's get into it. So, and just really quick, the chemical makeup of a carbon-hydrogen-oxygen molecule called a carbohydrate is C6H12O6. Okay. So let's determine how this is created. Okay, so when we think of chemical reactions, we need to get energy from somewhere, right? Okay. What is probably the most energy producing thing in the world? Where does energy come from?
The sun.
Good, the sun, yes. And the sun is pretty much what has allowed for life to exist. Is energy from the sun can be used by living organisms to then create energy. So let's look at how this occurs. Okay. So on the top of page 147, you have this nice little diagram, figure 4.2, and you can imagine that in our atmosphere, we have, we'll say, oxygen, carbon dioxide, some nitrogen. We have these gases, we'll say, that are in our in our planet's atmosphere. And way back in the day, about 3-ish billion years ago, our atmosphere was very, very heavily concentrated with carbon dioxide relative to today's standards. And some of the first living organisms on this planet were not, couldn't be oxygen-based because the atmosphere wasn't very oxygenated.
It's plant-based.
So the first living organisms on this planet needed to take advantage of that high concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere. So they evolved to utilize, our planet had a ton of water on it, okay? Brought to us by asteroids, they say, or something random. They're still trying to figure that out. Haven't figured it out yet, but saw a few theories, which is pretty cool. Like big asteroids coming with huge chunks of ice that just melted and created the oceans. Who knows?
Chunks of ice large enough.
I know. Yeah, I'm like, there would have to be bajillions of millions of meteorites slash asteroids that
crashing but not damaging.
Exactly right.
Having no enough
crater
size to melt and then fill the ocean.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking too. That's what I'm thinking too. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Who knows?
This is nutrition, but there's some flaws in our.
Hey, watch the History Channel. They have a good one there. The reason why they went to what's the asteroid that the European Union just visited?
Ice age, and then we just froze.
What's the asteroid that the European Union just visited? Remember they landed on, I think it was Ceres, the asteroid. I don't know, Ceres is the moon. They just sent out like a $2 billion project to land on an asteroid. Everybody remembers this, right? Just like 3 or 4 months ago. No, nobody follows anything in science. Okay. They just sent out a $2 billion project. Rover, they landed on this asteroid, a passing asteroid, and the entire goal of this project was to determine if the water on this asteroid, or the ice specifically on this asteroid, matched the molecular structure, we'll say, and I think it was polarity or osmolality of the water on Earth, just to see if the theory of asteroids bringing water to the Earth is true, or it can be continued to be studied, or just believed, or hypothesized.
Just to rule it out. Yeah.
And they landed on it, and unfortunately, they only had contact with it for about 24 hours before something happened. But they did land on the asteroid successfully, and had radio communication, which they were able to collect data, and they determined that it was not the same type of water that is on our planet. So it's kind of cool. It was like the whole point of this. The main thing was to determine like this guy's theory on, oh well, asteroids brought all the water to Earth. Over billions of years, sort of thing. Anyways, we have water on this Earth, is where I came from.
Who put all the salt down there?
I know, who put all the salt? The dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salt's a good cleanser. Yeah. Keeps all the bad stuff. And, I don't know. Okay. All right. So getting back to figure 4.2, away from our astronomy lesson today. Plants needed to survive by taking carbon dioxide and water in conjunction with energy from the sun to create something we call a carbohydrate. So let's look at the chemical equation that occurs. So carbon dioxide is made out of what? Carbon and oxygen, or two
CO2.
Of oxygen. Yes. CO2 is the chemical equation. Okay, so what happens, it would take... plants would take, and this is, millions of times sort of stuff. Plants would take...
the carbon.
Six CO2 molecules, okay? Six CO2 molecules, which is the bottom equation on page 147. They take six CO2 molecules and add
six
H2O molecules.
Water
molecules. Or water, yes. H2O molecules. And with the energy from the sun, meaning plus energy,
C6,
you would get a chemical reaction. Remember, the sun is the only thing that allows for this transition and chemical reaction to occur. Without the sun, you have no possible way that there's no energy available. So this is why, you know, you look out all the way into the deep ends of the solar system, and the sun's energy is not strong enough to reach that far. So the chances for life occurring are going to be way less.
Well, so it functions like a catalyst or something.
Well, imagine like when you heat up coconut oil, what happens? It changes state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's because you added energy to it and a change of state occurred. It's basically that, yeah. Like when you add a...
So heat is energy.
A catalyst to a hardening resin, it can only harden when you add that sort of mixture. Okay. I just fixed my surfboard last night, so it's doing that. Did a few extra drops, so it hardens really quick. Turns out, shouldn't do too much because it'll heat up so much it'll burn the surfboard.
Do you wax and do stuff to surfboards the same way you do snowboards?
Different, because as opposed to being slippery, you want it to be sticky. Oh, you can wax the snowboard. Yeah.
Yeah.
The top of it first for grip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, kind of.
What?
Okay. Anyways, so plus energy, so 6 CO2 plus 6 H2O plus energy from the sun. I'm going to create a little sun for you guys, a little energy producer. Okay, he's gonna be a happy sun, but an evil sun.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
Well, one glucose molecule.
He's a happy evil sun giving us energy. And what this leads to is a chemical change or a chemical reaction. And that chemical reaction creates a byproduct, which can be stored energy and used to create larger and larger plants, which is a carbohydrate, which is C6. Do we see where C6 can come from?
Yeah.
Okay, the six CO2s, that's C6 right there. Okay.
And that's 12.
H12, do we see where that can from? That can come from? 6 times H2, that's 12 molecules of hydrogen. Good. Because remember, it has to be balanced. Plus O. Six. Do we see where six O's can come from? Six O's, H2O. Six times, good. So, and then the byproduct, since we have another O2 over here, is going to be plus
six oxygen molecules. It should be. No, that's how it says in the book, too, but...
Oh, no, 6 O2 molecules, yeah, plus 6 molecules of O2. Plus 6 molecules of O2, okay? So what happens here is you can imagine this. I just like history of the Earth sort of stuff. You can imagine that if all of the sudden... 3 billion years ago, plants start to grow, and these chemical reactions start to occur in the atmosphere, and we're left with less CO2, because it's literally taken from the atmosphere, and it's turned into storage form carbohydrate, or that's a glucose molecule, in the plant and stored, and then we're left with that carbon is no longer there, but it turns into 6 oxygen. What's going to happen to that atmosphere over billions of years?
It'll turn into oxygen.
So the atmosphere in the Earth is going to become less carbon dioxide dense and more oxygen dense. Okay? At which, what needs to happen for balance? So if this chemical reaction occurred, eventually we'd run out of CO2, correct?
Yeah.
So what occurred on this Earth to create balance?
Humans.
Definitely not humans.
Oh.
But what?
Plants absorb the...
Well, no, the plants are taking CO2 and turning it into O2. What do we need to happen to create balance on the Earth?
Something that creates carbon.
Good. So we need to create something that utilizes that extra oxygen.
Which is...
I thought it was humans.
Yeah, right?
We breathe it in and...
all of us.
Not just humans. Humans is a species of...
Reptiles.
Animals.
Oh, animals.
Animals.
Animals are going to come on this Earth. Animals are going to come on to this Earth. Animals are going to come onto this Earth in through the process of cellular or respiratory and cellular metabolism, take the oxygen out and turn it into CO2. And that process is done by breaking or adding a carbon that we have from the carbohydrates that we eat.
Do they have respiratory metabolism? I know they do somewhere. Look at the chemical equation for respiratory metabolism. Actually, I know it.
Let's see if we've taken O2 plus. Oh, I know it leads to CO2 and water. Something like breathe in O2, create CO2 and water, so H2O. Damn, I'm totally blanking on it right now.
What do you want?
Oh, art! Google art!
I was busy eating the
Look up the equation for respiration. Or is anybody else doing that?
Nobody is doing it. What was it word? Equation for respiration.
We breathe in the O2.
There's magic pictures.
C6H12O6 plus C6O2.
So that's
what we got up there.
So glucose plus oxygen is to water plus carbon dioxide plus.
That's what it is. Yeah. Sorry. Read that to me.
CO6. I got one here.
C6H12O6
plus 6
oxygen.
Yes.
Oxygen is O2.
Then goes backwards. Oh, duh. I could have just done it in a reverse way. Duh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that it?
C6H12O6 plus 6O2.
6 CO2?
6O2.
6O2.
Just pretty much what we got right there.
Yeah.
Like what you got.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 6O2. Sorry, yeah.
And then 0.
Plus CO2 and sweat.
CO2.
Let me have 6 CO2 and 6 water. Right?
6.
6 H2O?
6 H2O plus.
6 H2O plus 6 CO2.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Okay. So I could have just literally done it right backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Duh, Eddie, because that's Earth, and Earth is perfect, and it's awesome because you just have perfect balance that way. Okay, so you can imagine if you reverse the first equation that we did, which created carbohydrates and oxygen, you then have animals that consume these plants' carbohydrates, and in oxidative metabolism, you take that O2 and use it with a carbohydrate to then go the reverse way, in which you create the backwards arrow, creating, but the energy is on this side now, because you have a heat energy,
which
does it say energy on that side of the
it
equation?
Does.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Right.
So plus energy,
energy
on this side, yeah, but it's the energy, is it from the sun?
It's from
it's
person.
It's red, so I'm assuming that it's hot.
But it's from heat from our bodies, yeah.
Yes.
Heat, so now it's a happy sun, there you go, going backwards to create CO2 in that. So you can imagine that when you think of evolution and the evolution of animal species on our planet, it's kind of fun to recognize that at one point, the oxygen was so rich in the atmosphere that they're, all of a sudden the plants are like, hey, if nothing happens here, the Earth was like, if nothing happens here, we're going to run out of CO2 for the plants, so what should we do? God's up there on the seventh day, and he's like, oh, there's animals.
Animals.
No, but basically, in
evolution
and theology. Yeah, creation is, yeah, ice asteroid stuff. Good, we all got it. One fun, cool thing, though, is oxygen was so concentrated when animals first started to arrive that the first animals over obviously millions of years of evolution became massive.
Huge.
Huge, because the concentration of oxygen was almost double what it is today, allowing for literally massive animals to grow because of all the extra potential for respiration and or energy conversion.
So if we were alive back then, we'd have been like 10 or 12 feet tall.
Yeah, and the first animals, did they eat plants or did they eat other animals? First animals
the
focused T-Rex on eating plants. Okay, and then eventually the other animals started to eat other animals. Yeah, and then we get us.
Imagine being the first animal to bite animal.
Yeah.
You are such a...
You're a dick.
No, I swear to God.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch.
Asshole.
But the thing is, that has to happen to create more complex organisms. You have to have the food chain, and otherwise you're just going to get large blobs of stuff.
Gotta have winners.
Yeah, gotta have winners, exactly. Because if the strongest survive, then you get some cool stuff. Yeah.
Cool survivors.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Okay. So beyond that history lesson and all that fun stuff, we kind of understand what the plant respiration looks like and what human, or we'll say animal respiration looks like, and how it can be balanced. So one glucose molecule, like I said, is C6H12O6. If you look further down on page 147, we begin with the monosaccharides. You do need to know the monosaccharides.
Single sugars.
Okay, they're also called simple sugars. So monosaccharides. Monosaccharides. Oh, I always do it wrong. No, I did it right. Monosaccharides. So what are the monosaccharides?
Glucose, fructose.
So glucose, you need to know, is glucose awesome? Mm-hmm. Okay. Glucose. Okay.
Fructose.
Glucose has your C6H12O6. Good. Okay. Then we have fructose.
Fructose.
Which is C5. I think it's H10 or something. Where are we at? Fructose is C5. Because I don't have it. So I'll have to count. Oh no, it's C6.
All
so it's actually...
monosaccharides have 6 carbons.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And all have the same chemical formula, C6H12O6.
Yeah. Correct. The thing that makes all of these different is the structure, which is why they have this to represent each one. So the chemical structure of glucose is a 6-carbon chain, or a 6-carbon hexagonal shape. Boom, bam, 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 boom. Okay. Fructose is a pentagonal shape. It's like a good pentagon right there. Almost like a portrait of the Pentagon. Okay. And then we have galactose, which is actually the same similar structure to glucose.
Just with the stripes.
It just has the hydrogen and hydroxide molecule flipped to where it gives it a slightly different structure, creating a slightly different molecule. Okay. So...
You wrote glucose twice. Did you mean...
Glucose. Thank you. Good. So when we think of glucose, Where does glucose come from?
Nice.
Good. So pure chains of glucose is going to come from what?
Starch.
Okay. Fructose is going to come from what?
Sugar.
Well, it's definitely sugar, and it's fructose is sweeter than just pure glucose. What is a? Where might fructose come from?
Fruit,
some vegetables, and some naturally occurring sugars like honey. Okay. And then galactose comes from what? Yeah, milk, dairy. It's milk sugar. We'll just say. So, as far as the monosaccharides, we have glucose, fructose, and galactose, okay? We do need to understand, though, that fructose and glucose are going to be digested in slightly different ways and stored in slightly different ways. Our bodies need glucose to be able to be used as fuel. Fructose cannot be used as fuel. It must be converted into glucose before being used as fuel. But fructose typically occurs in nature very, very untouched, or what can I say, not in large form. You can't have chains upon chains of fructose like you do glucose, like starch. So it's typically, that's why fructose is considered the simplest sugar and is going to be very quickly absorbed and digested, or digested and absorbed, I should say. Meaning you can probably get more energy more very quickly from eating fructose, which is a good thing for athletics, but probably a bad thing for body fat storage.
Even though it has to be converted.
Even though it has to be converted when the liver's really good, very efficient at converting fructose into usable glucose.
You said it was half and half, right?
Make it take longer. Well, you can imagine, this is what I'm talking about in nature. Glucose in nature, pure glucose, is starch. Starch comes with fiber in nature. When you have fiber in nature, that's going to take a lot longer to break apart the fiber to allow for the starches to then be broken apart and absorbed through the intestinal lining. Fructose in nature when you think of fructose in nature, what do you think of? Like
an orange
or something. Yeah. Oranges and very sweet fruits that are typically, you suck the juice from them and then you instantly get it. It's almost water-based. So, yes, those do come with fiber, but typically can get absorbed through the intestinal lining within 5 to 10 minutes, as opposed to starch. Like, imagine eating a sweet potato in nature. It's going to take 45 minutes for that to really hit your, absorb and start to be used as fuel.
So, fructose breaks up into glucose and...
So, fructose must be converted into glucose to be used in the body as fuel.
You said it was half glucose and half.
So, we're going to get into disaccharides here in a second. But so, you can imagine fructose containing foods would be higher on the glycemic index or lower on the glycemic index? Or would spike insulin more?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so just keep that kind of in mind as we get through this. Fructose would spike insulin more. Okay. Insulin is known as what? Good, the storage hormone. Okay.
The what?
The storage hormone.
Oh,
okay. Insulin, whenever released, is purposefully released into the blood to decrease blood sugar, which means it's going to force the sugar into the cell to be stored or immediately used under active circumstances. Okay. There is other pentose sugars. We won't really need to worry about it. And, ribose, as in like ribonucleic acid, for DNA, RNA, deoxyribose, more or less. Okay, those are also 5-carbon sugars that those make up our genetic structure, which is kind of cool. DNA, ooh, that's fun. That's a fun one. Oh, DNA.
Super.
I'm gonna miss teaching DNA. So amazing. All right, and you can see what RNA or DNA look like if you look at top right of page 149.
You have a ribose and a deoxyribose. Which deoxy just means without one oxygen, ribose. And that's what's going to make up the sugar and phosphate backbone that connects all of the bases or the other molecules that make up DNA. So literally, when we think of our genetic structure, it's sugar-based. Okay, but so whenever we eat, if we can survive on blood, because the ribose in blood can be converted into glucose. Or in DNA, yeah. That's kind of fun.
Wouldn't you eat protein, though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, some guys survived off of, like, turtle blood for a bunch of months out at sea. Did you guys hear about this guy?
Yeah, I saw it, but I didn't think it was that true. Like, there's no way
he... We probably eat the turtle, too, but...
How many turtles did you get to...
Yeah. Well, turtles are easy. You just go and catch them. They're so slow. Have you ever tried to swim with a sea turtle? So fun. You aren't supposed to touch them, but I rode one. All right, so next, beyond the monosaccharides, we get to the disaccharides, okay? Disaccharides are typically how sugars are going to be found in nature, specifically one called sucrose. There is no such thing as pure fructose in nature. It always has to be in the form of sucrose. Okay, sucrose is the first one we're going to start with, and I hate it when I do this to myself, but we'll do it this way. Okay, sucrose is 50% glucose and 50% fructose. Meaning, whenever you eat table sugar, you get glucose and fructose. And anything sugary in nature that is or is going to be made typically of sucrose, and sucrose can be very quickly digested and absorbed. This is most of the fruits. All the fruits have fructose in it, but it's in the form of sucrose, as in sugar, like table sugar stuff. Next we have lactose. Okay, lactose is part glucose and part galactose.
Is it also
so? Lactose is made. Or go for it. Lactose is made out of glucose, 50% lactose and 50% galactose. There you go. And when I say 50%, it's just because one molecule of glucose, one molecule of galactose get together, form a bond. It's called galactose. Lactose intolerance, have we heard that?
Mm-hmm.
It's literally lactose intolerance. Okay. And what that is the your body does not contain the enzyme lactase. Lactase is the enzyme that would break the chemical bond between the glucose and the galactose, leading to large disaccharides not being able to be absorbed through the intestinal lining and moving into the colon, in which the bacteria in the colon are like, score! And the bacteria goes after that, and byproducts of bacterial metabolism of sugars, like galactose, is gas, and gas leads to bloating and potential diarrhea and vomiting, just not feeling too hot in here.
Ooh.
Just like blah, 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 blah. Okay. And then the last one is maltose. Maltose. All these sound like islands off of Greece.
Two glucose. It's glucose on glucose.
Alright, which glucose is going to be 2 glucose molecules. Sorry, maltose is going to be 2 glucose molecules stuck together. Okay, if you stick a bunch of maltose together, you get what?
A bunch of maltose together. A bunch of glucose.
Starch.
Starch.
How many?
Malt liquor.
More than 2. I mean...
More than 2 of these?
More than 2 glucose, you get starch. Starch is typically in massive long chains that look like...
Maltose,
yeah, we'll get to it in a second.
These?
Kind of. It's this right here.
Oh, okay.
So right. One of these made up of a bunch of glucose, it pretty much always is maltose.
So, if anything has more than 1 glucose molecule attached, and is specifically 2, so this is, these are going to be disaccharides, di meaning 2, meaning...
This should be more.
Yeah, maltose, I mean, it can exist in nature, just because it's, if you have just 2 glucose molecules stuck together, but typically in nature, if you have...
You have more than 2.
If you have more than 2. You're going to have chains of glucose, which anything more than just 2 glucose stuck together is going to be considered a starch.
Starch, oh, okay.
Chains of glucose molecules, which you can see in the middle of page 152, under amylopectin starch or amylase starch or amylose starch, top of page 152.
So glucose alone is only sugar, not a starch.
Well, here's the thing: can pure glucose exist in nature? But you can kind of say, yes, it can, because multiple glucose chains stuck together is starch. Well, then starch exists in nature. And starch is pure glucose. But in nature, you have this way running. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So
like that, and breaks down, though.
In my opinion, health-wise, pure starch is extremely, extremely healthy, as long as it doesn't come with a lot of crappy other stuff with it. Okay? This is why something like rice is pure starch, which is awesome. A great, great fuel source, pure glucose. Your body's going to use it and not store it, because your body loves to use glucose as fuel just regularly, and yeah, it's awesome. But rice, unfortunately, comes with the bran and the... germ, which has anti-nutrients in it, that's going to create a little bit of inflammation and wreckage in your system. That's white rice. But pure starch in nature? Awesome. Think of a pure starch like, obviously it does come with some vitamins and minerals, but like a potato. A sweet potato. French fries, right? Yeah, pure starch. No, but that comes with fat, typically from bad fats like vegetable oils and bad fats. Okay, so let's go over disaccharides just a little bit further. Sucrose, once again, common table sugar, is at the bottom of page 149. Lactose is milk sugar. Maltose is a product of starch digestion. Doesn't really occur in nature on its own, we'll say. When we, so it says, so look at page 149, bottom right, it says condensation down there. Condensation doesn't have the definition right there next to it. Yeah, actually in the next page. Condensation is, in chemistry, a reaction in which a covalent bond is formed between two molecules by removal of a water molecule. Okay, so remember, water... Anything with hydrogen and oxygen can turn into a water. Okay? When you create a sucrose or sugar molecule via fructose and when you create a sucrose via a glucose and a fructose connecting together, you're typically going to get water. Okay, do fruits in this world, are they typically pretty liquidy? Winky smiley, guess what happens to create this table sugar or this sucrose that randomly occurs, okay? So why is an orange filled with so much water? when orange has a high concentration of sucrose. Okay, the fruits that have a high concentration of sucrose are going to have the most water associated with them, typically because these reactions of glucose and fructose are occurring within the skin of the fruit. Think of a watermelon. Does a watermelon typically have a lot of that? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Think of a coconut. Coconut's awesome. It's a wonderful food, but coconut water forms inside of the coconut, and all that is going to be from this reaction of removing water molecules to create sucrose. Okay, remember, we look at things in grams of sucrose, okay? This one molecule, actually, I'd like to know that. How much one molecule is makes up of 1 gram? Let's see if we can Google that. But we'll just say, I'll throw out a random guess, one molecule, one sucrose molecule, meaning this disaccharide, is probably 1/1,000,000th of a gram. So a million reactions would have to occur in order to create what would be 1 gram of sucrose. All right. So these are the disaccharides once again. So that's just fun fact, like why do fruits have more water associated with them? Because the fruits contain more sucrose, which in order to create a sucrose, you need to remove a water molecule from a glucose and a fructose. Yay! Learn something new every day.
That water molecule is what carries the...
And the water molecule, there, yeah, and then basically these sucrose is carried inside of the water, like in a solution, you would almost consider it. So why might vegetables contain water sometimes, or look like they contain water?
Because of...
No, not really because of sucrose, but why? Vegetables are typically...
Fructose?
No, we wouldn't really have much sucrose going on in vegetables.
Carbs?
Mainly because vegetables... basically grow from the ground, and they're the things actually carrying water up to grow, like a tree. If that makes sense. So they actually absorb water from the ground.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What does it say?
There's the question right there. Is that the right question?
How much does one sucrose molecule weigh in grams? Oh, yeah, okay. Woo! And that's 1 mole of... So, there's 60 to the 23rd power, so 60 times itself molecules in 1 mole, and 1 mole is 332 grams, so 6 times, there's 60 times itself 23 times divided by 332. 23 zeros would be heptillions. Stupid amounts. Okay, so my millionth was way off, we'll say. Meaning the size of a molecule is, I mean, we're talking 1 gram, we're talking more than trillions of molecules in 1 gram of sucrose. 1 gram of sucrose is trillions upon trillions of molecules. Trillions. Okay. So disaccharides, moving over to page 150, maltose, good. Okay, cool. So Joining and cleaving sugar molecules. Yeah, we talked about how H2O is required to form sucrose. Yeah, table sugar, lactose, maltose. Good. All right, so now we get into complex carbohydrates. Okay. Complex carbohydrates are going to be something beyond two molecules stuck together, or two atoms, or two molecules stuck together. So when you get two sugars stuck together, you get a disaccharide. Okay, anything beyond that is going to be a complex carbohydrate or a polysaccharide. Okay, so they first start with oligosaccharides. It's going to be short chain carbohydrate chains from 3 to 10 sugar molecules. That's oligo. Polysaccharides are basically going to be, they say, I'd say anything more than 2, but they just say, I guess, maybe more than 10. But a polysaccharide, the types of polysaccharides you do need to know, which is going to be starch is the first polysaccharide, and you should know starch. There's two main types of starch which you don't really need to know, but they're amylose and amylopectin. And then also we have a polysaccharide called glycogen. Anybody ever heard of glycogen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the way that we store glucose in our body, is via chains of glycogen, which is going to be slightly different from starch in structure, okay, which is just the plants or the animal storage of sugar or animal storage of glucose is going to be glycogen. Plant storage of glucose is going to be starch. Yeah, the amylose is going to be made up of long unbranched chains, and amylopectin is going to be made up of branched chains, which it says in the middle page 152 there. And then glycogen is animal starch, you can call it, or just glycogen. So within 24 hours of killing an animal, all the starch is broken down. So from animals, you can't really get carbohydrates unless you eat them immediately after they've been killed. Because it says right here at the bottom of page 152, even though like the animals are going to store glycogen, what happens? After slaughter, tissue enzymes break down most glycogen within 24 hours. So any stored carbohydrates in an animal after its death is immediately starting to break down. And then it says, although some organ meats such as the kidney, heart, and liver contain small amounts of carbohydrate, meat from muscle contains none. This is why we don't get carbohydrates from animals, even though animals store carbohydrates in their muscles.
What if you were to eat it, so like in nature, lion kills gazelle, it's getting carbs from that gazelle because it's eating it immediately right after.
Yes. It also gets, in the blood, it does get some of the ribose sugars, nucleic acids sort of stuff.
If you were to kill something and immediately, cook it on the spot, does that just cook?
Well, cooking is going to denature the carb, too.
So you have to eat it raw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know how many like a lion would get if you immediately swallowed and ate the animal meat. That would be an interesting thing.
Is it more
thing.
Beneficial? Like, are they also getting a ton of carbs and protein? Like, are
they? I know they're getting some carbs. I just don't know how many. You know, because I mean, when you think about it, our muscles store a ton of glycogen. I guess to tell the truth, our muscles only store about 100 grams of glycogen in total. So I mean, you probably aren't going to get when you eat just my bicep. You're not going to get maybe 2 to 3.
Those animals, they go right for the stomach. Stomach contents, and the guts. Before they eat the muscle.
Lion connoisseur over here.
Really?
Yeah. It goes right for the.
Probably because those spoil first, or.
No, because there's always.
It's easiest.
Process, yeah.
It's easier to chew and.
It's like a macronutrient dense meal because they're getting all the animal fat.
There's no bones.
It's a sufficient source of carbs. And. Protein.
There we go. Damn lions. Kicking ass in life.
So they're so...
Okay, so then we have fiber. That's also going to be a polysaccharide or a complex carbohydrate. What is fiber? It's also known as cellulose, okay? Which is actually chains of glucose, but our bodies do not contain the enzyme to break apart those chains of glucose. They're super, super strong bonds of glucose. And those super strong bonds of glucose are going to be held together in a very fibrous form, and that's why we call it fiber. Animals, other animals besides humans, mainly herbivores, contain the enzyme cellulase, which cellulase breaks apart the cellulose to get usable glucose from the animal, or from the plant, or from from fiber, we should say. So why can cows eat grass all day and survive, and we can't?
Because they can break down
cellulase.
Because they have cellulase, the enzyme cellulase, which breaks down the grass or fiber, because it's just pure grass, into usable fuel, which is pure glucose.
Is cellulase something you can isolate and then take?
I think so. I think there is a human supplement of cellulase that does allow you to release some glucose from fiber. I don't know if there's been any research done on it, whether that's beneficial or not. But that'd be a cool Google or a cool study. But I know there is such thing as taking cellulase to get energy from the stores in fiber. Somebody Google that. Human cellulase, or humans and cellulase. Can I get it, or can I get energy from it?
Would it mean that you'd be able to digest the shell around some of the wheat if you were able to take cellulose and be able to consume gluten more safe?
Well, remember, gluten wouldn't break down, so you'd still get the inflammatory issue. Yeah, but the fiber in the wheat, which I mean, fiber is just pure glucose. I mean, you might as well just eat starch. I don't know. It's definitely not necessary. But let's say you post-apocalypse need some glucose, find your whole supplement's worth of cellulase, or steal it from a cow, and I don't know. I think potentially when the enzyme would go into your stomach, the enzyme might denature in hydrochloric acid before it could even get to be able to break down the cellulose. I don't know.
So there's no real benefit to being like a cow.
To what?
Being like a cow and having.
I don't think so.
Not like they have the upper hand or anything.
No, well, I mean, when you think of a cow, what does it have to do all day?
Die for my.
It has to eat all day long to stay full.
Because it has like a gang of stomachs.
Why can horses eat hay? Cellulase. Okay, it's like, hey, how come my horse doesn't want to eat, meat or anything like that? Well, they don't need to because they just get all their fuel from.
So that's like
fiber.
Something they produce in themselves.
Yeah, they have a organ or inside of some of their organs they can produce cellulase. Okay. All right, so fiber's cool. Dietary fiber, can we do anything with it? What are the functions of fiber in the body? It's a non-digestible carbohydrate, correct? What does it do for us?
Keeps us regular.
Is that what it is?
Said by an elderly man. Fiber will assist in the intestinal motility, specifically in the large intestine. It basically will allow the ability of...
Motility?
Well, yeah. Motility means movement, or just
keeps moving?
Yeah, keeps the digestive system kind of moving with bulk, kind of like... Yeah. Yeah. You can imagine inside there just like swirling, like putting one of those little snakes down the drain and grabbing all the, I don't know.
Point made.
Point made, okay. All right, so then you have a bunch of other types of fiber. So other types of fiber are obviously cellulose, hemicelluloses, pectins, gums, ligands, glucans, chitin and chitosan. All these are also characters in Dragon Ball Z. semi-funny? Not funny? Okay. It's just different types of fiber. When you might see like some stuff in foods, like processed foods that have like gums and guars and pectins, and I'm sure you've heard of some of those words when you look at the ingredients list. And they're just basically input into the food to create texture, typically. Or thickness. Or, yeah. All right, carbohydrate digestion and absorption. So, oh yeah, really quick, what foods are rich in fiber? In the top right of page 155, apples, bananas, berries, cherries, cranberries, grapefruit, mango, oranges, pears, yay. Those are some fruits that are going to be high in fiber. Oh, really quick, does it talk about the difference between soluble fiber and insoluble fiber? I think it does, actually. I guess it doesn't. Alright. Yeah, so foods that are rich in dietary fiber. Like we said, there's some good fruits there that are rich in fiber. Vegetables, all green leafy vegetables are going to be very high in fiber. Okay. Yeah, asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. We got some spinach sprouts sort of thing. Nuts and seeds are high in fiber, almonds, peanuts, pecans, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, walnuts. Legumes are pretty high in fiber, and then grains are high in fiber. So one of the big things with grains that the government says, oh, the grains are where you should get all your fiber. That's kind of one of their things on why you should eat grain.
Is this like in some sort of order?
No.
No, just random.
No, it's random order, yeah. But yes, you can get more fiber from fruits and vegetables than you can from grains, 100%. Yeah, so but it's just they choose to say, hey, get it from grain. Good job. Okay, so digestion. So the process of digestion for carbohydrates, let's look at page 156. All right, so if we have starch, we have chains of glucose. So that glucose needs to be broken down. Do we agree? Mm-hmm. So what happens when we eat a banana or when we eat a potato or something? This is what happens. In the mouth, the salivary glands produce something called salivary amylase. You may want to highlight that. That is on the test. Salivary amylase. And salivary amylase begins the process of digestion of carbs in the mouth. Sorry, page 156, top left. All right, so then salivary amylase begins to break down some of the carbohydrates into more of a or lesser form. Then in the stomach, digestion of carbohydrates stops, and that's because the stomach acid does not allow the salivary amylase to continue its job because it denatures the enzyme. So in the stomach, there's no process of digestion occurring for carbohydrates. Then, in the small intestine, we re-begin because we have different enzymes secreted by the pancreas, such as pancreatic amylase, to break down from the starch. It might have already been broken down into some disaccharides, and then those disaccharides can be further broken down. Into individual sugars or monosaccharides, and in the small intestine you also have the microvilli secrete some maltase, sucrase, and lactase, in which those break down the disaccharides into monosaccharides, and then that's where absorption occurs when you get individual glucose, fructose, or galactose in the small intestine, that's when it can cross the gut lining. But not until it's very, very, very broken down into pure monosaccharides. All right, and then in the large intestine, bacteria will eat the fiber, okay? And when bacteria eats the fiber, the byproduct can be these brown bubbles over here.
That's fiber.
What do these brown bubbles represent? on
gas.
Doo doo and gas. Yes, gas. Oh, I'd love to know the chemical equation for bacterial digestion of fiber.
We refer to the bacteria as something outside of ourselves, correct?
Correct. Bacteria in our digestive tract is its own living organisms, chilling, waiting for stuff to come by.
How does it get there?
It gets there from your mom, actually. As you grow, your mom's bacteria specifically will more or less transplant itself and grow in your gut too. This is why genetic digestive issues are common from mom to baby. Also, I think there's some study done, this might be a little graphic, but when you exit the birth canal via the natural way, the bacteria in that is also taken in and sets itself up in your gut as well.
And it receives all its genetic makeup from the mother.
Typically, yes.
Passed down from the father.
Correct, yeah. And then once you start eating mother's breast milk and or whatever you're eating, then you get that bacteria to start to develop as well.
And this bacteria cannot exist outside of itself. Like, it's not something we can find in nature. Like, this is
I believe we can actually find it in nature. I don't know about that, though. That's something that... because they're literally just bacteria that from... Even some of the stuff we eat, that bacteria will grow and implant itself in there because it's a comfortable environment, too. And also, when you give yourself a good enema, you can implant some different bacteria. No, I'm joking. good question, though. I believe you can find this exact same bacteria throughout the world, not just in our colons. Make sense?
Yes.
Something seems unclear, Miguel.
I just feel like we're dependent on a bacteria that doesn't belong to us. So
yeah, oh yeah, big time. I mean,
are we able to transfer this bacteria, does anyone have, let's say, like a deficiency of bacteria? Can we take it from an animal? Like,
so,
do they require this?
Yes, there's actually a lot of poop swapping studies going on, in which you take the bacteria from a super healthy human and put it into an unhealthy human, specifically with digestive disorders, and all of a sudden this improvement in intestinal health occurs. It's something you'd have to look up and research, but yeah. It's literally like implanting someone else's fecal matter into your rectum. And then getting their bacteria to grow inside of you because their bacteria is a lot healthier and a lot more productive.
I know there's even supplements and foods you can take built around
there you are.
Increasing your life.
Yeah,
bacteria.
Well, probiotics.
Yeah, there you go, like
yeah.
Probiotics. But can humans exist outside this bacteria?
You mean if this bacteria wasn't there, would we be able to survive?
Not in our stomach, would we go to exist?
We would not be able to survive because they all help.
Depends
yeah.
on this
absolutely
bacteria outside
yeah.
of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And all animal species depend on this bacteria.
So you, as a human being,
are dependent.
You don't exist
without
independently.
Without what came before me?
Yeah, you would not be here without some. Bacteria.
So does that make the bacteria not bad then? Since
oh,
it's essentially
needed? Yeah, oh, absolutely. No, remember, bacteria does never means that it's a bad bacteria. Whenever we think of bacteria, we think of, oh, it's going to get bacteria in our cut and we're going to get an infection. That can happen, but this type of bacteria is mutually beneficial because it's helping us process food. And that's a good thing. For digestion, absolutely.
So you can't even say that humans exist independently. They were like a hermit crab, basically. We're the shell, and the bacteria is the crab. One can't live without the other.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, in a way, yeah. I've seen some hermit crabs without shells, though.
You know what I mean?
I'm joking. Yeah, the bacteria live in us, and there's a whole world going on in there that we don't even know about.
Should we name the bacteria, like...
Yes, all the bacteria is named. It's like, this is probiotics, this is there's something.
And, like, I get to have, like...
Oh, like
Jeffrey
Fred?
Jeffrey and Miguel, you know, because, like, the bacteria...
Yes, you can name your bacteria, but you would need about trillions of names.
I'm not that clever.
I never know. That's why you have to start doing it. XYZ12142089. Yeah. Anyways. Good sidetrack, Miguel. So, carbohydrate digestion. Yes, bacteria will eat the leftover carbohydrates that make it to the large intestine, in which the byproducts of fiber digestion and extra carbohydrate digestion is going to be gas. So, to tell the truth, a ton of sugars make it into my large intestine. That's what I'll say. And I'll tell my wife that, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gassy.
I'm gassy.
Does that happen to eat beans?
Yeah. So... Yeah.
Is that genetic too?
Probably, yeah. I mean, my bacteria are just super active, right? Actually, there's a funny Facebook post going around. There's a funny Facebook post going around saying that if people who fart more are healthier, just like basically saying that your bacteria is doing its job more or less.
Why would you want to keep it in?
So then, and then I just fart all the time. I'm like, babe, I'm healthy.
Protein farts.
Yeah, but when I'm with my clients, I'm like, ugh, pinching it off. Okay. Just looking at the difference between starch and cellulose, the bonds there, we have alpha bonds for starch, which are break-upable, or